Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Right now, we're going to be starting off the show with an interview. I have up in the studio right now Walter Jones, who is a member of a bunch of groups, but we're going to be mainly talking about the Five Crowns. You want to say hi, Walter?
Hi there. How's Chicago? How's everyone tonight? I'm here in defense of everyone.
Okay. And I also got up...
Even myself.
I also got up in the studio right now, Gerald Dickerson, who we talked to a while ago. He was in the Creations, and he wrote most of the material for the Five Crowns. So how's it going?
Pretty good. How's everybody?
Okay, cool. So... I guess for the first part of the show, and Walter, you've been up here too when we talked about the soul procedures.
Yes,
and
that's our last meeting. Yeah, we talked about a lot of things I've done with them.
And you were also a member of the Notations, right?
That's right.
So
1975 to 78.
And you're most famously singing on Super People, right?
That's right. That's on Super People. That was wrote by our talented brother Gerald Dickerson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Gerald, who's up here now, wrote a lot of the Notation songs for their whole album. So, but right now we're focusing on the first group you, Walter, were in, the Five Crowns, right?
That's right, the Five Crowns.
So, first of all, where from Chicago are you guys from?
Well, we were originally from Monroe Gardens, and that's in between 39th and Pershing Road all the way to 35th, and we want to say from in between Princeton and Wells. We went with Wells and Princeton.
Okay.
So from 39th and Wentworth to Princeton, 39th and Princeton, you can call that Wentworth Grounds. We originated there.
Okay. So and so you grew up over there?
Yeah, we grew up there. I went to school there.
What high school did you go to?
With the Wendell Phillips.
Okay.
And I graduated from St. George Grammar School. That was on 39th and Wells.
Okay.
And then with the Abbott School, and transferred from Abbott School, and the Abbott School is on 37th and Wells.
Okay. So
that's two blocks away from two different schools. So then I went out to Phillips High School.
So you said you were at Phillips, right?
That's right.
So were all the members of the Five Crowns from Phillips High School?
Right. That's right.
Did you form when you were in high school?
No, we was in grammar school.
Okay.
We started at 12 and 13.
Okay. So what?
Back in the 50s.
Oh, you started in the 50s?
Yeah. We started, like I said, 12 and 13.
So
various other groups that we mimicked off the radio. That was our favorite subject.
What were the groups that inspired you?
Where am I gonna start? The Temptations?
Well, not in the
50s.
Not in the 50s, though.
Yeah.
Well, the Temptations weren't around in the 50s.
Well, that's not in the 50s, but that's one of the groups. Curtis Mayfield.
Okay.
The Impressions.
Okay.
El Dorado.
El Dorados, yeah.
Okay.
Spaniards, all those groups, everyone.
Okay.
One you can name that was about music you tried to mimic, and we did successfully.
So you started, you formed the group, the Five Crowns, even before you were in high school, is that right?
That's right, that's right.
Did any one member form the group, or you all just knew each other?
We just happened to run into each other one night. And that was a party, and somebody was singing, and we started singing, then somebody went in, and then added their stuff in with the harmony, and then that's how we formed the group.
Okay.
Because it was contributing from some of the outside members that sang the song.
Okay.
And then we found out that we could get along with each other, that we made some real good sounds with each other. And then we formed a group.
Okay, so and that was when you were in grammar school.
That's right.
What years were you in high school?
61.
Okay.
62. 63, 64.
And were you all about the same age?
That's right.
Okay. So who were the members of the Five Crowns?
Well, it was Walter John, myself, Horton Broadney.
Horton, what's his last name?
Broadney.
Okay.
Maurice Pippen.
Okay.
Bruce Carter, which is my brother-in-law, and Clifton Stephanie.
Okay, so there were obviously five members because of the Five Crowns.
Right.
So were those always the members? Were there ever any line of changes?
It was just me. It was Walter Jones and Maurice Pippen and Horton Broadney.
So originally there were just three people.
That's right, originally.
And then you brought in two other people.
That's right.
Was that while you were in high school or in grade school? In grammar school.
Yeah.
And then how did you ultimately get the name the Five Crowns?
Well, we got it from another group that was in the family that was the Crowns.
Okay.
And they never even made a record. They made one record, but they never got to be anything, so we just kept the name.
Okay.
My brother-in-law had a group called the Crowns. My sister's husband.
It was a male group?
Yeah, it was a male group.
That's interesting. I know about a Crowns from, I think they're from Chicago on VJ Records.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's the same group.
They had one record.
Okay, well, I'll be talking to you about that later because I'm interested in finding out about that, if it is the group that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you took on...
That would be a Noah's Ark.
It's called Noah's Ark.
That's right.
That's not the record I know.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe the group I'm thinking of has some connections to that
mm-hmm.
group. So then, so you took on the name The Five Crowns
that's
from
right.
that group, The Crowns.
Yeah, because of the five of us, so we just made The Five Crowns.
And then, so throughout high school, were there any other groups from the Wentworth Gardens where you were from?
Quite a few, but they never got to be successful by even recording the records, but it was good enough.
So you were the only group that
right.
ended up recording.
That's right.
So then your big hit in Chicago was called Just a Part of Life.
Just a Part of Life.
And did that come out after while you were still in high school, when you were done with high school?
No, that was over. That was in 69.
Okay.
January 69.
Yeah.
So while you were in high school, were you doing talent shows,
yeah.
stuff like that?
All over everywhere. I had schools. Get together, outings.
Okay.
Whatever was necessary for us to really explore ourselves about the music we loved and let people know what we really felt and what we felt inside of us.
Okay.
But Camelot, what comes out of your mouth, see? So it caught on to a lot of people and they liked it because not only in the neighborhood, but other neighborhoods also.
Okay.
And we got pretty popular going around. Everybody knew where we were before the records came out.
Okay, so, and that was mainly around the South Side you were performing?
That's right.
And then, finally you had a record, Just a Part of Life, come out. Let me play the record, and then we can talk some more about it so the listener know what we're talking about. I'm sure everyone remembers this song, because it was
right.
a big hit in Chicago.
It's still a great song.
Yeah, excellent.
Just play it some more, keep on playing forever.
I played it last week.
Yes, it was a really good song. And then we also have to thank Joe, man, Mr. Dixon, for the songwriting and the skills of it and the harmonies of it.
But we'll talk about that after
okay.
the song, because I'll talk about how you got the song out and who wrote it and stuff. So
okay.
this is The Five Crowns with their hit Just a Part of Life. Okay, that was just The Five Crowns with Just a Part of Life. And if you're just tuning in right now, in the studio we have Walter Jones, who sings, member of the Five Crowns, who sings lead on that record. And also up in here now is Gerald Dickerson, who wrote that record. So first of all, you had been out of high school for a while before that record came out, is that right?
That's right.
So then,
I passed school in 1964.
Okay, and that record
came out 5 years later.
That record came out like 69.
69.
So in between,
January, 1969.
So the group stayed together in between that whole time.
That's right.
And just like did shows and.
That's right.
So how did the record come about?
Well, we used to go to parties at Devlin Homes. That's where Gerald resided at.
Where was
27 and State.
Okay.
So we used to have a lot of parties at the center down there.
Okay.
That's for teenagers, you know, the usual. So after that, we used to go in the hallway with some people because we like to sing in the hall with the echo.
Okay.
There's always a nice acoustics in the hallway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was our favorite Sunday. We had get our drinks and go in the hallway and just make honey.
Yeah.
So one night we happened to go in this hallway and he came out the door. You know, prior to us, he was making records for people all the time anyway.
Yeah, he had done stuff with the creation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He took a lot of interest in us, and that's how it all started.
Okay, so then.
Gerald took an interest, and then he showed some things that we could do that we thought we couldn't do, but we could.
So that's how you met Gerald. So how did do you know how you actually got hooked up with the record label? Like, I think the producer is Emmett Garner. Is that right?
It was through Gerald Dickerson that I met Emmett Garner.
Okay, so is Emmett the one that hooked you up with the record? It came out on a record label called 5-0 Records.
That's right.
So do you know anything about the label? Like, did you sign a contract with the label owner?
That's right.
You don't remember who owned the label, do you?
Mr. Epps.
Joseph Epps.
Okay.
I forgot those other people's names, but...
Okay.
It was a conglomerate, what, five individuals that made the name of that label?
Okay, that's why they got the 5-0.
That's right.
Right, it was five
that's
individuals.
Right.
These were actually, they were African, actually.
Yeah.
They weren't from the United States.
Okay.
And if they were, they weren't here long. And and him and his buddies, they fronted the money up for to do it for the Five Crowns.
Mm-hmm. So they were not experienced with the record industry at all. They were just small entrepreneurs.
They were small entrepreneurs, and they was trying to get in the record business, and they got a break. They got a hit record, but at that time it was a lot of payola going on, mm-hmm. and they didn't have enough money at that time to probably pursue the whole album situation. Because I suggested Just a Part of Life album, and then nobody seemed like they heard
that's right,
me. But
sure did,
I tried to get that going.
So do you remember how you got hooked up with the guys from 5-0 Records? Was it Emmett who hooked you up, or
well, like I said before, me and Emmett caught me and my boys singing in the group, and Emmett was the one. He was the spokesman for me and Charles Knox.
Okay.
So therefore, we had just did Maurice Jackson and them just a part of
the Lucky Fellow.
Lucky Fellow, and then we were gonna do other projects for other people, and Emmett was out scouting the city and stuff for that, and then that's how we got lucky with these guys.
Look, so Emmett was looking for artists to put out. You're saying?
Well, right. We were looking for people to produce and he
already had a connection with the 5-0 people. You're saying?
Well, I don't know how he had a connection on that, but somehow I think the Maurice Jackson brothers had lawyers, and I think they knew these people.
Okay.
And they shoved them to Emmett.
So somehow through word of mouth, you got
word
hooked
of
up
mouth,
with,
right?
With the 5-0 record label.
Exactly.
So then, and you, Gerald. And have writing. You wrote that song, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's you and Charles. Does Charles Knox also have writing credits on it?
Yeah, he got it.
Okay. Okay. So
you shouldn't have got it.
He got it. You know, but like I say, sometimes it's a special song to me because I was a young man and I had just broke up with my wife and that's how the song came about. It. You know, I was going through these mental thoughts and these thoughts. God gave me the revelation to the song, and I didn't know who was going to do it. But then the Five Crowns, when they did it, I was just flabbergasted.
Yeah, it came out well.
It came out beautiful. One take, by the way.
Okay.
They only sung that song one time.
Okay.
And they thought they were rehearsing, and then I made the engineer record the song, and it was over.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it was the truth.
Yeah. And then I think it was arranged by Burgess Gardner, is that right?
Tom Washington, Burgess Gardner, a lot of some of the Earth, Wind & Fire people was on there as musicians, professionals. They had the best musicians in Chicago.
Willie Henson?
I have worked with all the best people in Chicago.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, Earth, Wind & Fire, everybody, you name them, if they was around me, That's who I was with.
And then who sang each part on the record? Like, I know that you, Walter Jones, sang lead. Mm-hmm. Who sang the other parts on the record?
Well, we got Horton Boyd in the background, Bruce Carter, Clifton Stephanie, Maurice Pippen. And then the front of the record is Gerald Dickerson.
Charles Knox.
So the setup part, what did you do when you fell in love?
So not only does the record have the five crowns on it, it's got the contributors of soul.
That's right, the writers.
Yeah, and the writers.
Yeah, that's what made it so. That's what made it so beautiful.
Okay.
See, without that setup, the record would still have been a good. Wouldn't have been good as.
It just kind of set it up because most.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you, what do you do when you fall in love?
That's right.
You go through change.
That's right.
So and then you were telling me that was something that you hadn't planned. You just thought of in the studio.
I just sat there and watched it and thought it would set the whole thing up. The mood was so beautiful. The music was so beautiful. It just came to me and I said, "Oh, stop it, stop!" We ran in right quick. Didn't nobody really know what we was doing. Mm-hmm. And then we told the engineer to run the tape and it one take. And we were sitting back down. And next thing you know, Walter, and when it was come time, he just drilled it one time, one take.
Okay, and then. So that record got a lot of play in Chicago, right?
It went number one one week.
Okay.
It went down to number one in about 1 week with a bullet.
Okay. Do you know if it got play in any other cities?
I really don't know as far as that. But I know it was in Billboard and Cashbox.
I heard Colorado.
With a bullet.
Colorado.
Colorado.
Texas. I heard.
It was taking off.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, the records would take off. It was really, really taking off. Everybody was kind of shocked. And I think at the time, everybody was unprepared. I was on the bus going down to Walter Jones' house, and the girls from school was singing the record on the bus. They didn't even know I was the guy that wrote. Mm-hmm. I almost cried on the bus.
You tell the girls, you're like, I wrote that song.
No, I didn't say anything. But I got all choked up inside because... You know how you do something great and then somebody else let you hear what you done. Man, I got choked up. I almost cried. And the girls were saying it. They looked like they were cheerleaders from school. I don't know what school it was in. They bust on and it's just a part of life. You'd be surprised. And I told Walter as soon as I got off the bus. I said, man, they were singing the song on the bus and everything. I almost broke down and cried.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. So then
now that you had a hit record, did you tour or did you still do shows in Chicago? Mainly, did you ever do a tour?
Well, basically Chicago. We never been on a tour, but.
But did you get bigger shows now that you had a record out?
And then we made a few dollars.
Okay.
The usual, the Burning Spear.
Yeah, they did all of the children's circus, so to speak.
That's what they called it.
Okay.
The Green Bunny, Peyton Plays, Burning Spear, all of the nightclubs in Chicago, the Five Crowns played in just about every last one.
The West Side. Herb Kennis had us at the Red Tide.
The Steam Ray. The Steam Ray and all those places were mostly blues places, but that record took off. Everybody liked the record. Yeah.
Okay, so then after that record, the Five Crowns actually cut one more record, and it was called The Beating of My Heart.
That's right.
So that wasn't recorded in the same session, was it?
Yes.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. No, not same session. No. The music.
Okay.
Recorded at the same time. This is probably like Beating of My Heart.
You're saying
recorded at the same time, but the lyrics part of it was sung at a different time.
Okay, well, let me play the record, and we could talk some more. So this is the Five Crowns' second record. This is called The Beating of My Heart.
Bye.
Okay, that was just the Five Crowns with their second record called The Beating of My Heart. And who did you say sang lead on that record?
That was Horton Brodney.
Okay, and that record, it was definitely a good record, first of all. It was a great song, but it didn't
follow for Just a Part of Life.
But it didn't get distribution and promotion like the first record.
The business went bad.
Okay.
Bad business.
And one thing that's interesting about the record is that the B-side, it's a totally different song, but it's recorded to the exact same instrumental.
That's right.
So what's the story behind that?
Well, the thing about it was is that they kept the tracks was done automatically with it. And then they decided to come back and do the vocals later. That's what happened.
So did you say something about how the tracks were all done much earlier, and the part of the first when the first session was done, you had the tracks for another song,
right?
But you didn't have the lyrics yet.
Well, what I did, I had the lyrics, but he wasn't ready to sing them yet.
Okay,
you know, because they was really having, like I said, when they did Just a Part of Life, then he wanted another song that was supposed to be the follow up. And then he wasn't ready to sing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The lyrics was there, but he just wasn't ready. Then they went back and y'all did them.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where it was recorded?
Oh, man.
The lyrics or the...
The studio that you recorded at.
The music or the lyrics?
No, the music.
For Beating My Heart, man.
We were downtown.
RCA with the lyrics on Beating My Heart.
Yeah, RCA.
Oh. It was on RCA with the Beating My Heart, but Just a Part of Life, we called it 8-Track Studio, 6064 North Michigan.
Right. Okay.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Stu Whirlwind, who's the engineer at the time, he's dead now.
He's ETC
Stu. He did a lot for everybody, from Cyril Johnson, you name it. Stu was the man at that time as far as engineer.
Okay.
He was the man at that time back there. And Michigan is a beautiful studio.
Yeah.
Very few people got a chance to go downtown.
Yeah.
And
that was a great concert.
And record there.
Yeah. That was a good studio.
So then after that record came out, that was the last record released by the Five Crowns. So and I know that the label put out some more records. Like the label put out some records by Chuck Ray, a couple records by Chuck Ray. And was Chuck Ray from the same, from Wentworth Gardens also? Was he from the same area at least?
Well, I don't know. You know, like
he stayed there for a while.
Then he moved on Lake Park. But I think Chuck might have really come from Detroit. I'm not really sure of his origin, but
he was in Chicago at the time,
and he was doing the circuits with the High Chaparral, the Burning Spear, the Bonanza. We were all see the Five Crowns. All of us, we were working.
Okay,
and that's how I think I met Chuck Ray at the Green Bunny.
Okay.
On 69th Street in Halsted, somewhere up in that area. That's where there was a lot of nightclubs.
Okay.
And we were bouncing around. You know, everybody was trying to be successful in the music business.
Okay. And I know, Walter, you soon after that joined the group. You were in the Notations after that. And then
that's
you
right.
Were, so did the Five Crowns pretty much break up, or what was the story?
Well, basically, bad business.
Okay.
Somebody got the skills, and they want to continue because you think that when you're in this business, you get rich right away, and that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people made it in the business.
So
and
we found out.
Died too.
Yeah, a couple of them deceased.
Okay.
And then we found out how the way that business don't work like that.
Okay.
So we separated. Somebody got concerned, discouraged. They didn't want to continue anymore. So they went their own way. I continued.
And you were the only one who continued in the music business.
That's right.
And so you joined the Notations around the time when they were on Jemigo Records.
That's right, 1975.
And did they bring you in specifically to sing Super People, or what's the story? How did you join the Notations?
Well, basically, it was opening for it to be another singer in the group because they needed more vocal.
Okay.
And that was the idea. So we entered because I'm saying that we had a great help about ideas, and they accepted that.
Okay.
So one thing led to another, and then the songs came. You're right, we'll sit down and wrote a bunch of songs again, and here we go again.
Okay. And then after the Notations, you also ended up joining the Soul Procedures, right?
Yeah.
And the Soul Procedures were from... Well, first of all, they also had records out on that 5-0
label.
That's
right, that's right.
That was
after.
After?
Yeah,
but the song he's on came out like 76. So you're on the one Procedures record, the Give Me One More Chance.
No, I'm not on that. But I'm on Mirror Mirror.
Oh, you're on the remake of Mirror Mirror.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you were in the Soul Procedures for a while after that.
That's right.
How did you end up joining the Soul Procedures? You just knew them because they were
all around. Yeah, we all came up from State Break Gardens.
Okay.
Back in, you can say the 60s. And
so that's right by Wentworth Gardens?
That's right.
Okay.
So we were all familiar with each other in the first place.
Okay. And then... And you were with the Procedures for a long time, right? The group was together for a long time.
Not only that, but I know the lead singer all my life.
Okay, Fred, you're talking about Fred Escobar?
Yeah, another great guy. And, you know, we always did the best in the forest, they did another forest, so I still learn music business today.
Okay.
If I give me another group, I'll do that too today.
Okay.
But so, right now, I'm just doing these things by myself, by some other things we're trying to crack, and then sooner or later, that's going to happen too.
Yeah, I hope something happens from the stuff you're doing. So you're doing stuff with Gerald now?
Most definitely.
Okay. So, yeah, let me know when anything's happening. I'll definitely announce it.
Most definitely.
So, so first of all, thanks so much, you guys, for coming up and telling us.
Oh, it's a great thing. We like to see you. We like you, too.
No problem.
And any last words for the audience? I know, Bessie, this wouldn't even been up here before. But
just when you hit a name, keep on banding records, because it's going to be always the same thing. It's going to be wonderful, beautiful. And that's what music is love. It's about love. It's about understanding. It's about wisdom. It's about nonsense. God is the leader of us all.
But let me stress one thing. At the Kurtom level, super people got the notations in the door at Kurtom.
Yeah. Yeah, we forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Super people really got the notations in the door.
That's right.
Because at that time, I don't know if they were looking for another group or not, but... Super People was definitely the one that they loved, that Curtis Mayfield loved the song, and I think they had already hired the Delphonics or something, so they wasn't really looking for another group, but they fell in love with that record so badly that they merged the Notations and Walter Jones into one group.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, cool. So thanks again, and I guess. If you guys will be here for a few more minutes, so if anyone has any questions, they can call up. The number is 773-702-8424. And this last record that I'm going to play is the B-side of Beating of My Heart. This is called Got to Be My Baby.
So deep.